To start today, I'd like to invite you to consider and remember and recollect the best day of your life. And there may be more than one. And as you're remembering it, as you're recollecting it, do you notice God's presence? Now I'd like you to consider the other side of life, the bookend, as so to speak. I'd like you to consider the worst day of your life. Remember that one. Recollect. Do you notice God's presence there? Each day I like to begin by reading. And it just depends on the day and where I look first. Sometimes it's the news. Sometimes it's the scriptures or spiritual reading. And the time in contemplation and reflection after it varies greatly. It varies because if I'm reading the news, there's this compassion and this terrible suffering that I feel too for those who are suffering out there in the world. However, if I begin with the spiritual reading and the scriptural readings, then I'm lifted up, raised up. My spirits are now lighter. We as Christians are called to both, to attend to God in all circumstances, in the light and in the darkness. Today, you heard the story we call Transfiguration, Jesus' Transfiguration. Jesus is changed in form. That's what it literally means, to change form, transfigure, or change figure. He is changed. Now, just before this, he told his disciples, immediately after Peter says he's the Messiah, the Christ, that he is to suffer, die, and then this mysterious thing the disciples don't get, rise again. And here, in this lesson, he is transfigured on the mountaintop, having that high experience, and we move quickly. Almost every sermon I've ever heard preached on this text is a sermon about getting down the mountainside and helping those who are suffering or in need. That is important. That is a part of the Christian life. But this lesson is a mere comment about heading down the mountainside. Jesus doesn't command, God doesn't command, there's no command there to get to it. So what does happen in this lesson? Jesus is taking his disciples, Peter, James, and John, aside up the mountain for what it looks like prayer. But what happens is Moses and Elijah suddenly appear right after Jesus' figure is transformed. He is brilliant before the disciples. The earthly Jesus, now they see his heavenly glory. And then, after they converse, Peter says, let's build something. Let's put up a monument, three places for you, Elijah and Moses. But he says this because he doesn't know what to say. He's terrified along with the other disciples. And then, just like their ancestors before with Moses on the mountain, the cloud overshadows the mountain. And then that voice comes. And these two prophets standing with him, now another one gets a higher title. The two greatest prophets now here along with Peter, James, and John, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to Him." Then it's gone. The experience is done. This profound revelation of who Jesus is for the disciples, because maybe they have their doubts. But now, with this experience, there should be no more doubting. And then Jesus, while they're coming down the mountainside, tells them to tell no one about this again until that mysterious, "The Son of Man has risen from the dead." They were in what's called a liminal space. It's a space where you're on earth, but you're also in heaven in some fashion. You have these moments in time where you are now in God's presence in an unmistakable way. It's in your own suffering at times, but it's also in your greatest joys. And for Peter, James, and John, they got to participate in Jesus' great joy, in the revelation, in the glory of who He truly is. There's a time of disorientation, which is why Peter blurted out what he blurted out. There's a time of transformation, a confirmation of the direction you're heading, or a redirection from God's Spirit. These are the touchstone moments in life. Now, we don't know how Jesus was transfigured. We don't know how He was changed. But a kindergarten teacher was walking around a classroom while her students drew pictures. One little girl was scribbling so intently that the teacher asked, "What was she drawing?" The little girl replied, "I'm drawing a picture of Jesus." The teacher said, "Well, dear, nobody really knows what He looks like." The little girl responded, "They will in a minute." Maybe you've seen Jesus. Maybe it's in a dream, maybe in a vision. You're one of the very lucky few, from what I understand. I haven't done a full poll. But you have been one of those three disciples. To know the earthly Jesus, I don't know if she was drawing a picture of Him, or the transfigured Jesus, or the resurrected Jesus, what would that do to your life orientation? Would you go back to fishing? Would you go back to what it was you were doing before? Or would you carry that message the rest of your life until you reach that own great bookend of your own? I was touched by this story enough again to dig back into reading about Moses on the mountain, to reading about Elijah, just to get the context of why these two are on the mountain with Him. Moses, if you remember, a cloud descended upon him, and the people were awaiting God's direction, God's command, God's law. And they all moved forward and became a light to the nations, because of this new law that God gave through one prophet to the people. They lived for the God of justice. They lived for the God of peace. They had this deep within them because of that mountaintop experience. And then Elijah had a different story to tell in his time. So Moses, if you remember, could only go to a place at the Jordan River and he couldn't cross over. He could only look over. Elijah did not die an earthly death, but he was taken up in a chariot of fire with fiery horses. And Elijah, his disciple prophet, was looking on and received a double amount of his spirit, Elijah's spirit. Well, here it is, our time. And I want to invite you to go and look for the prophets. To look at the ones who are in your life. The pastors, the teachers, your closest friends who can tell you the truth about yourself. Maybe a brother or a sister. But also that those that see the bigger picture, more than just our individual lives. And we have them in our time, if we're willing to go read and to look with them, and to see that they have this vision of what God wants us to be in our time. And perhaps the most popular one is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he's popular in part because of how he died. But just days before he died, he gave a great speech. Considered one of his greatest. And he set aside his script. And he talked about the mountaintop. That he's been there. And he's looked over. And he may not get there with He was inspired by Jesus, the Son of God, followed him closely, but he, like Moses, was not allowed to go over into the promised land. But what a great life to have lived if you were Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And what a great life each one of us have been given by God. So that we too can be the prophets. That we too can point to Jesus as the way. And to follow Him. And listen to Him. Amen.